The message this week is titled, The Gift of Baptism, and the scripture reading is from Romans 6, 1-14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
It's great to have you with us this morning. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? Father God, as we come to you this morning, each person here has struggles and difficulties and challenges in their life. And each person has been talking to you and praying to you, asking for blessings upon them. And today, Father, as a group of people, we come together and we hold up several people, but specifically today we hold up Martin, who has a challenge in his life for recovery, that he may be struggling with some things that he'll never be able to have back in his life. But because of that, we pray for his patience. We pray for your presence to be with him in a powerful way. And we pray that we can continue to be an encouragement to him through our prayers and to be with Janet. And today, Father, we also ask for a blessing upon each person here today, each person carrying whatever difficulties they have. We bring them to you, and may your peace rest upon each one of us. And through Christ, we say thanks. Amen. So we're glad to have you with us today. And we've been talking about gifts beyond words, and we've been using the book of Romans. We've talked a little bit about the gift of righteousness, and it's a gift. The gift of righteousness cannot be earned, it's not to be argued, and it's not a threat. We talked about the gift of justification given to us by God through Christ Jesus. It's not an argument, it's a gift. It's not something to wrangle over, it's a gift. It's not a threat, it's a gift. Today I want to spend some time talking about the gift of baptism, because maybe it's been your experience that it hasn't necessarily been received as a gift. For example, in just a little while, we're going to have communion. Communion is not a threat. Communion is not an argument. When we take communion, we receive it. When we receive the gift of righteousness, it's because we've received it. And to understand justification, it's because we've received it. These are gifts given us by God. And we noticed at the beginning of this series that God himself is a gift. He gives himself to us. No one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. He's a gift. He gives himself to us. We don't argue with God about him being a gift. We receive the gift. God is not a threat to us. Jesus Christ himself is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Jesus is not a threat. Jesus is not an argument. The Holy Spirit is a gift. God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit is not an argument. The Holy Spirit is not a threat. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Have we ever thought of baptism as a gift? It is a gift to be received. It's not an argument. and it's not a threat. So what I want to do today is have very much a PowerPoint lesson. You're going to be focused on the screen, I think, for many of these scriptures, because I want to talk about this as the gift itself, Jesus being the gift itself. Not on PowerPoint, but remember in Matthew's gospel. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is speaking, and he said, go into all the world and baptize all people. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the, help me, in the name of the Father, gift, in the name of the Son, gift, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and you will, what? Receive the gift. It's a gift. But often we've taken baptism as, let's wrestle with this, let's argue with this, let's just, and somehow we've lost maybe this wonderful receiving of a gift. Like when we have communion, we receive the bread representing Christ himself, the body of Christ. He gave himself to us. And we, in a way, join him. And we take the cup, or in some places the wine, and we drink it. And it's this, it's the experience of Christ. And in our baptism, it's very much the same. We experience this gift of being washed, of being cleansed. But what I want to notice this morning, because I think we've already established this as a gift, is how often entire families were baptized, entire households were baptized. And, you know, I've preached for a while now, and I never really stopped to think about this, because there are various stories in the Bible where it's individuals, where individually it's a person's life and this person ends up being baptized. But I forgot how often entire households were baptized. So notice with me, if you will, right from the very beginning in Acts chapter 2, 36 through 38, where on the day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching along with the other disciples, and probably some of you can quote these scriptures. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, a gift. And you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, the gift of Christ, all given to us as a gift. And then it goes on to say, how many people were baptized? Can you roll the scroll again a little bit further than that? Okay, can't roll the scroll though. Anybody remember how many people were baptized that day? How many? 3,000. So have you ever pictured that? It's what we call a mass baptism. It's been pretty cool in our baptistry. Our baptistry is fairly large. I think the most amount of people I've ever baptized, maybe someone else has done something different. I think the most amount of people I've ever baptized in the baptistry at one time were three people. So there's four of us, myself and three other people. I don't think we'd get 3,000 in there, but it'd be nice to try. Because it's this wonderful gift that's received. And entire families, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, meaning the Gentiles. Because it started off, the church started off as very much a Jewish Christian church. And then from there, the Gentiles are brought in. And you would think it would be a lovely, wonderful event, that this gift is for all people of all places. And yet there was some reluctance with all of that. So, well, let's take a look at the story of Cornelius. So Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, where Peter, and I'll just explain this story just a little bit. So Peter is sent to the house of a Gentile, and he's reluctant to go, which is interesting. Because it was Peter on the day of Pentecost said that this gift of baptism is for all people, all who are far off, meaning the Gentiles. So he preached it. And now when it comes to actually doing it, going and preaching it and welcoming Gentiles into the kingdom, it was very difficult. It wasn't a happy gift. It was a wrestling with Peter, not with Cornelius, but it was a wrestling with Peter. Peter received baptism as a gift. Peter told people to receive baptism as a gift. But when it was his turn to go and preach to someone else, he was reluctant. But he went ahead and he shared the story. And then he says to them, surely no one can stand in the way of these Gentiles being baptized with water. They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Now, if you can look in chapter 11 and verse 14, so this is interesting. He orders them. He orders them to be baptized. I'm giving you this gift. You better take it. It's a gift for them to receive. So he orders them to be baptized. And then it's so interesting to notice as well, in chapter 11 and verse 14, he says, he will bring you a message through which you and all your, read this with me now, household. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. So you see this larger group of people being baptized. And then there's just so many examples of this in chapter, I believe that was chapter 11 and verse 14, this baptism that takes place. It's an amazing event. And then 14, he will bring you this message which you and your household, I know I've repeated this, but just go with me and see how often this phrase, your whole household, coming to the Lord Jesus. So here's the story next of the of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. This is such an interesting story. Acts chapter 16. Lydia is an amazing woman. Paul is wanting to find a place of prayer, and so on the Sabbath he goes out looking for this place of prayer. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 13, it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, who dealt in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and what? The members of her household were baptized, she invited us to come to her home. And she said, if you consider me a believer of the Lord, then come and stay in my house. So such an interesting story that's found there by Lydia. And if you want to go down further, the next story right after that is the story of the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas are out preaching. Now, what do you think they're preaching? They're preaching the message of Christ, how Christ is welcome for all people. And because he's causing somewhat of a disturbance in this preaching, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. Now, this is a pretty familiar story. How many of you remember the story? Okay, they're thrown into prison. And afterwards, this miraculous event takes place where the jail doors are open wide and they can walk out, and the Philippian jailer knows that his life is on the line. If any prisoner escapes, he's the guy that has to count for it. So he's thinking that he's dead and he's about to do himself in. Peter says, no, don't do it. And long story short, the Philippian jailer invites Paul and Silas to his home. And this event is really spectacular. Notice with me in verse 31. Verse 31, it says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your, now notice how often this is said, you and your, say it with me, household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his what? Household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. How did I miss this? How did I miss this? All the way through, there's these stories of entire families giving themselves to the Lord and being baptized into Christ. And then there are some other stories that maybe aren't as profound as others. In Acts chapter 18, if you're following in your Bible, this is really an interesting story. There's a man whose name is Crispus, Acts chapter 18, in verse 7 and 8. And then it says this, "Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader." I want to stop. So a synagogue leader, and for those of you who know some of the history of what a synagogue wasn't like a great big temple or a great big church. It could be. But often a synagogue was just a little small place where a group of at least eight people to gather together, and it would be a time to read the scripture and to pray and so forth. Well, this synagogue must have been a bit larger than that, because Crispus is the synagogue leader, meaning he not only gathers people together, but he plans the worship for that day, the readings and so forth. So it says, "Then Paul left the synagogue, went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire," what? "Household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians," I heard Paul, "believed, and they were all baptized." We don't necessarily know the numbers, but it was the fact of groups of people coming together. And then this last one that I think is unique. I want to step outside the book of Acts for just a moment and go to 1 Corinthians. And if you do have a Bible, I'd like you to notice this with me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read books in the Bible, I sometimes skip the first couple of verses, because it often is like, "Hi, my name is Paul." Actually, you're not going to see that. You're not going to. It's not. It doesn't read that way, but kind of like that. It's going to be, "Hi, my name is Paul. I'm writing about this." Or, "Hi, my name is James. I'm writing about this." It's kind of an introduction. And sometimes it's a long list. It's a long introduction. We just kind of go, okay, let's skip there. Let's get to the good part. Mistake. Big mistake. Because sometimes in the introduction, there are profound thoughts. In 1 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, a gift. Jesus Christ being a gift. "By the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those who are sanctified," which we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, "in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people." And here's what I'd like us to notice. "Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then what do they say next? "Their Lord and our Lord." So he's bringing us all together. And so Paul begins this letter, and he begins right away by saying, "We've got some problems in this church. There's a lot of argument going on in this church. There are people who are arguing over spiritual gifts. Does this person have a greater gift than I have?" And so forth. And then Paul says, "And you're even including me in all of this." And here's what I think what Paul is saying. Christ is a gift. God's a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The church is a gift. The sacraments we take, we don't argue over them. It's a gift. Our baptism, it's a gift. So why are we arguing all the time? What's the problem? Why are you arguing about me and my gift? Why are some of you calling me a baptizer? Yeah, I've baptized people, but God called me to preach. It doesn't matter who's baptizing people. These are gifts. Because whenever we take a gift and use the gift as a threat or an argument, we lose the preciousness of the gift. Amen? Here's a gift. I don't want to really give it to you, but here. We don't even want to take it. I'm going to argue this point. I'm going to argue about this. And then I'll reluctantly give it to you. And you better hold on to it because I'll be watching you. It's a threat. No. Gifts beyond words are found in the entire book of Romans. These are gifts given us because I love you, God says. Here are the gifts. So there's this argument going on about leaders being divided back and forth, and Paul, people saying different things about Paul and argument. So I'll just read this, verses 13 through 16. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus, which we just read about, and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized into my name. It was this argument. Who baptized you? Well, isn't that special? No, we're baptized into Christ. And then he says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. Stephanas, I think, is one of the unsung heroes in the New Testament. We hardly hear anything about him. But in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 16 and verse 15, it says this. The household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. A reluctant person that we just don't know anything about him, except that he was baptized by Paul, and somehow he received the baptism as a gift, not as a threat, not as an argument. And he and his entire household became active encouragers in Achaia for many, many years and served in a brilliant way. As we talk about these gifts, maybe we sometimes forget about our own baptism. Do you remember? Do you remember your baptism? I think it would be so cool to be part of a baptism where an entire household of people were baptized into Christ Jesus. And how did you come about being baptized? Have you ever heard of baptism as a precious gift? Not an argument, not a threat, but that you and I are part of, even though they lived long before us, that we are part of that huge baptismal scene. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. And some 3,000 people were baptized. And now 2,000 years later, we're going to say, excuse me, Luke, we need to include that number as a change. There's a few more people been baptized since then. Like millions. Part of this story. Gifts beyond words. So when we read in Romans today about baptism, it's a reminder. It's just a reminder that we want to keep living for Christ, and our baptism is a reminder of all of that, that these gifts that are given to us. But it's the fact that what baptism represents as well. You know, in Romans chapter 6, keeping Christ at the center. Don't you know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We're brand new people. We're not the same. We're moving forward. May you receive the gift today of whatever has been said, to picture people receiving this gift so that more and more people can receive the gift, so that we can honestly say, here's the gift of baptism. Enjoy it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, each person with challenges, each person here today with difficulties, each person here today with joys and wonderful gifts that they've experienced over the years. We can't thank you enough for the gift of yourself, for the gift of Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of righteousness, for the gift of justification, for the gift of baptism, and many, many more gifts that we will remind ourselves of as we go through the book of Romans. But more than anything, we thank you that you love us so much to give us these gifts, and that for not even one moment are you away from us, but that you're with us every moment of our day. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.